This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and it's now 10 o'clock. And this is Jim, and I'm here with Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Good day.
And I'm here with James and Steph.
Hello.
Hello.
So the old team is all back together, just about. The only one of us that's missing is Kurt, who, of course, has moved off to Tuesday nights to transpositions. Well, and I know he's listening. Hello, Kurt.
Kurt's moved on. We should accept
we should
this.
Accept
I know,
it.
We love the fact that there's a baby Is Nothing Sacred show.
Well, a baby. I think it was more that it was an extrapolation
upon
what it burst forth from our fertile loins.
It did.
It really did.
And I want to say thank you to Sammy for her fabulous show, and that we know that she spent the night talking to Candy about
toys.
Love toys.
All sorts of beautiful toys.
And she's looking in the window saying something which I can't understand, but anyway.
But it's probably very,
it was
very
about
naughty.
Love toys, wasn't it, Candy?
I think it
she
was.
Still so can't
I
hear.
I think it was.
We've got a really fantastic show coming up.
We've got a great show tonight, Patrick, haven't we?
Well, I'm really glad to be back because our first discussion is with Natalie Crum, who is a writer who wrote two fantastic articles discussing racism, especially in Australia, which... her argument is that Australia is an inherently racist society. What is your opinion about this? Well, if you do have an opinion on this, 0427 Joy
949. On air at joy.org.au, please let us know. Go to our Facebook page. Just tell us what you think about whether we are an inherently racist country.
I'm not sure that she does think we're inherently racist because she claims that to be optimistic, and if it was inherently racist, then we couldn't change. That might be a question that we can ask her when we get her on the line.
I think so. Look, maybe I got the wrong end of the stick of that because I sort of saw a lot of doom and gloom there, to be honest. And as a white person, I was filled with the beautiful guilt that we all feel and should feel throughout the entire situation.
She did write a whole article, which was fantastic, which was about the phrase that she keeps on hearing, "I'm not racist, but..."
Yes.
And then insert racist statement here.
Which seems completely ridiculous.
And
but
then she proceeded to give a really good rundown of her heritage and of her grandmother, who was an activist, who was a land rights activist. But in the land rights, not in the context of what most people in Australia consider land rights, which is the sort of Northern Territory, South Australia, Queensland, Western Australia, large tracts of open desert and things like that. But when Eastern States Aboriginal people were fighting for the right to live in settlements that became eventually townships however you say that word, which I can't ever pronounce the word of the township on the Murray, the famous one that was in the Sapphires.
Yes.
And her grandmother was from another one of those small village-like communities, which were initially called reserves, but were meant to be safe spaces where Aboriginal people could settle with their own.
The descendant that we're talking about is Mary Jane Kane, and we will talk a little bit more about that with Natalie very shortly.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is Nothing Sacred?
Hello, Joysters. You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's now 9 minutes past 10, and we're about to launch into a show with our guest, Natalie Crum, who's here She's on our phone at the moment. Are you there, Natalie? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Welcome. This is Jim here.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'm in the studio with Steph, who's sitting next to me.
Hello.
And then Patrick on the panel and James down at the other end of the
desk. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Patrick and Jane.
It's so wonderful to be chatting. So we're going to just kick off straight away. Both your articles that we've just had a little bit of a brief about, they do tackle the idea of race, especially Australia's relationship with race. So do you feel that Australia is a racist country, in your opinion?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think that the large majority of Australia doesn't have the proper historical context in which to tackle race issues or race arguments out in society. A lot of the racial issues are tackled by mainstream media, and a lot of stereotypes are perpetrated by that media, which is where a lot of people get their education. So you can't sort of, it's hard not to get emotional about the issues, but you can't sort of judge people based on what they say in the media and then believe that to be fact.
So given you were just talking about people being, getting, I guess there's miscommunication happening, what are the things that you would want Australians to know? What are the things that you wish that they did hear?
Basically that people would understand that Australia wasn't settled. It was what happened initially.
Occupied is the word, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when white settlement, in inverted commas, occurred, it was on the lie of Terra Nullius, which was an Anglo construct in order to allow Crown sovereignty without the need for compensation to the original landowners. And if most Australians knew that and understood that and understood the consequences of the White Australia policies and things that occurred after that, then they would probably understand a lot of the racial issues in the country as far as Indigenous people are concerned.
So just if there's any, in case there's anyone listening who maybe didn't grow up in Australia or went to a school at a time when they weren't taught what actually happened, I guess could you tell our listeners a summary of what did happen briefly in Australia when white settlers arrived?
Well, initially there was a lot of combat between Indigenous inhabitants and the white settlers. There were occasions where there were, I guess, ceasefires and things like that, and then there were times where basically there was widespread dispossession of the Indigenous people from the land. A lot of massacres occurred, a lot of violence occurred, and then following that, there were a lot of governmental policies initiated that dealt with the Aboriginal people as a problem. A lot of scientific experiments were conducted based on skull size and things like that in order to subvert the Indigenous people as less than the white people that came to the land. And then they would enact policies where there would be crossbreeding, and then the children who were crossbred or considered not full-blooded Aboriginal people were removed from their families and then placed with white families. And that went on for several decades, both officially and unofficially, and that's referred to as the Stolen Generations, and that was the subject of the Bringing Them Home report, which is a pretty important report for Aboriginal people, but that's not something that's taught in our educational institutions. So that context isn't given to any of the children growing up.
And I think the other context that wasn't given is that a lot of Aboriginal people died from the introduction of disease for which
they had. Absolutely, yeah.
So that when the so-called explorers were going up the Murray, and they didn't see very many people at all, and yet the Murray had been a very heavily populated area, particularly the areas around the southern outlet of it where the Nurrungeri people used to live, was fairly dispopulated because most of the people had died of the measles already, because the measles went down the Murray much faster than the boats.
Yes.
And so there was a genocide, perhaps an unintentional genocide, but it was still a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we don't learn that. It's not what we learn. And we also don't learn the differences in the way that that the Australian settlements occurred, the European settlements occurred, because the European settlement in South Australia, for instance, in the Charter of South Australia, Aboriginal people were recognised as citizens of the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And so right up until Federation, Aboriginal people could actually vote in South Australia. They didn't, because they didn't know how, and they weren't told how. We didn't give them the information, but they
still
could.
Sounds a little bit like a kind of a very cruel
system. Well, it was a very enlightened policy for the time, because nowhere else did they, you know, it was really a result of we have treaties with Native Americans and with the Treaty of Waitangi and all that sort of stuff, and the British were beginning to realise that, and the rise of liberalism was occurring in the UK, and so when the South Australian Charter was put together, they were told to recognise the people that lived there as sovereign, as subjects of the Crown.
Yeah, but it's not enough, is it?
It's not enough, but at least it's a legal basis on which to act.
Natalie, I just wanted to go back a little bit to education, because, I mean, that seems to be something that is absolutely integral and very important to the issue and the wider population of Australia understanding the context that you were talking about. Do you think that there are some things that have been positive and then others that are negative? Because, I mean, certain things jump out at me through my childhood growing up through primary and then secondary school, like the idea that word sort of a black armband view of history and, you know, those sort of key phrases in the culture wars that perhaps were going on through perhaps the Howard years. Do you think they're quite important? Because I suppose the curriculum is something that is influenced originally by state education, but then more formally now in federal?
Yeah, well, the curriculum, I note that recently it was to be reviewed to include a lot of Indigenous history and a lot more, I guess, objective viewpoints as to what occurred on settlement, but that's been pulled back recently, so that hasn't been rolled out. But the education, basically, it's a... For the younger children, it's all sort of James Cook and everything was all dandy. That sort of history is given, you know, you sing your waltz in Matilda, you learn about wattle and all of the native plants and animals, but you don't really understand the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. I understand, obviously, in primary school you don't want to learn about the dark parts of history. But in high school, I think that children are mature enough these days to understand that context, and that will give them, I guess, more empathy for difference between cultures. But and I think that that's important going out into the big bad world, that they have some sort of a social justice conscience.
But even, I think, even in primary school, children aren't too young to learn, you know, this is your country, and, you know, even basic concepts like people have lived here for tens of thousands of years and people have looked after the land for a long time, and now we don't look after the land as well as people used to.
Yeah.
Those kinds of concepts.
You can start introducing.
Those concepts should definitely be taught.
Mm. I can imagine that would be a popular thing to teach in schools.
We're going to come back very shortly after a song. Natalie, stay with us on the line. Thank you. Sure. Thank you so far. It's been very, very
enlightening.
We've
got some hard questions to ask you later in the program. But don't worry. They won't be too hard.
Aren't you beautiful? You're just like, don't worry, but we're going to, yes.
Of course. We always do this to everybody, Natalie, so don't think that you're special.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We have received a lovely message in from Kurt. Unfortunately, it's visual, so it's a little bit difficult for me to kind of narrate, but it is talking specifically about the article that our wonderful guest, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
You're still with us. Hooray. We haven't driven you away with Jim saying, we're going to ask hard questions. I can't do Jim's voice.
You don't mind being asked a hard question, do you, Natalie?
Absolutely not.
Probably won't be hard at all then.
But specifically, it's talking about the concept of I'm not racist, but. Now, we've all heard this term. And
could you tell us a bit about it? Because this is one thing, I guess I read this article of yours a couple of weeks ago and I thought, this is really great, we need to have this woman on the show, because it's something that frustrates me, this idea that people claim that racism doesn't exist in Australia and yet that's not what I see.
It's definitely not what I see or what I experience either. Basically, the reason I wrote that article is because as one of the lighter-skinned Indigenous people.
I thought you were tempting Andrew Bolt.
Sorry?
I thought you were tempting Andrew Bolt. You were baiting him in that article, weren't you?
Yes, Bolt's one of my favourite authors.
I bet you religiously watch him every Sunday and read every column that he writes.
Well, a lot of people in my presence, because I am lighter skinned, think that they're safe to make comments and do let a lot fly in my presence, not realising that I am Aboriginal. When I speak up about that, that's when I experience the things such as, oh, but you don't look Aboriginal. Oh,
and I think you
must be one of the good ones.
Yeah, that's the comment that really stuck with what I read of yours.
What does that mean, one of the good ones? Like, sorry, I'm ignorant. That is really ignorant here, but I'm just going, sorry, those people frustrate me.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. What it means is I don't fit the stereotype
it means that
you've perpetrated
it means
in
you
the
can,
media.
You can pass as white and therefore you should.
Exactly.
And that
a
you
lot
have
of people
to a large
have
extent.
Said to me that that's what I should do. But you could totally pass as white. Why do you claim that you're black? That's a common comment.
Yeah, well, that's pretty racist, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pride you have in your own heritage isn't meaningless to those people, obviously. Which
it
probably
is.
Means that a retort to them is about, do they know their own heritage and have they any pride in it? The problem,
well,
basically, is
yeah.
Australians are very ahistorical. Most of them wouldn't know what their heritage was. They think they're Australian.
But on a more superficial level, this idea of you could pass as white implies that that's what people want to do, that that somehow...
Well, it implies that white is better than everybody else.
It's still
that
a kind
racial
of supremacy.
Superiority.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you one of those questions now. Is it possible to be white and not be racist?
Absolutely.
I don't believe it myself. I think we're all racist.
I think,
and we can't help it because it's so ingrained in our culture.
Thank you. We are a panel of white people. This is,
and we are a panel of white people here.
We're all gasping.
I think that you can absolutely be white and not be racist.
We can try not to be racist, but it's very hard not to be. I think
if you look at a person for who they are on the inside, for example, if a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people make comments about certain races that are rude or certain races that are this. Really, it's just the one person. Like, if someone cuts you off in traffic, they're an arsehole. It's not actually because they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever they are. It's the person that they are. I think that if you look at their personality traits as opposed to their physical, ethnic or religious pursuits, then... that's the way to not be racist.
What I'm gathering from Jim's sentiment here is that we do, because of the amount of media, and it's something that that you were addressing earlier, that you were trying to break down, is this idea of stereotypes of Indigenous people, of any race specifically. And because we have been so subjected to that, is there a possibility then to try and unlearn that? And personally, I think that there is, but I can also acknowledge that there are people who that will not educate themselves and will be willfully ignorant about that.
But I think that racism is a horribly pervasive thing. It's like sexism, really, and it's like all the isms about transphobic or homophobic and those sorts of things. And if they're institutionalised, which they are in this country,
mm-hmm.
the fact that Tony Abbott can say we were unsettled before the foreign investment of...
Well, we're about to
British,
go to a trap. We don't want to open up this yet. Wait.
means that we that for most people, that's their lived reality. And so
yep.
when they look and talk to people, particularly Aboriginal people, they've had a long history of thinking, oh, no, they didn't do anything. They didn't, you know, the myth of they didn't look after the land. I could tell some fantastic stories about the Aboriginal farms down on the Coorong. There's some wonderful stories in Aboriginal history in South Australia about that.
But, I mean, I guess the other part of that ridiculous comments by Tony Abbott is the fury that followed and the number of my friends on Facebook who've posted, outraged things. And we... A lot of us were outraged. I guess does that make us not racist?
I don't know.
It means that we're confronting our racism. But but if we live in an institutionalised racist society and we live through the institutions that are racist, and, you know, like things like the Stolen Generation happened because the departments of what are now the Departments of Community Services or Aboriginal Affairs or Human Services.
What were then called the Aboriginal Protectorate.
Which were then either the Aboriginal Protectorate or so on. They were inherent. And they've those...
Sorry, what were they called? Who were they protecting?
They were protecting Aboriginal people.
From who?
Aboriginal Protection Boards.
Who were they protecting people from?
Themselves. Basically. Because they
themselves.
Weren't...
Themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because they wouldn't learn civilization. They wouldn't learn white ways. But remind me to tell the story of the Aboriginal farmers in a minute, because they did learn them and then they got them taken away from them.
I know we have to go to some messages in a second, but I am curious to know, maybe we can reflect on this during the break, but I'm interested to know, I guess, what more can we do as allies to try to fight against this pervasive racism?
I think that's
actually
really
maybe
good.
If people can text in and let us know as well as hearing back from Natalie, and it's 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.
Yeah, let us know if you have attempted to not be racist and what your strategies for not being racist are. That'd be really good.
Or your experiences of racism.
Or your experiences of racism.
If you're okay with that.
When we get back, we're going to hear Natalie's answer. We will be back very, very shortly. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Is Nothing Sacred with Pat, James, Kurt and Steph. Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred, and it is now 10:30, 30 minutes past 10, and we've got Natalie Crum on the line. Hello, Natalie. You're still
Hi.
There, aren't you? Good.
Yes, I am.
and we've been talking about racism in Australian society, and we sort of started setting the tone for a bit of discussion then. Steph, do you want to recap your
yeah,
question?
I guess we were talking. Jim asked the question of whether all white people were racist, and Natalie said, no, that's not the case. And so I was interested in, I guess, as an ally.
That was very nice of you.
How can we be good allies? And I guess the other part of the question is, what's our responsibility, you know, as white people to, yeah.
To stand up against,
racism
that is pervasive in our society.
Yep. Well, I think the first thing is to obviously catch yourself, realise what we've learnt, what our preconceived notions already are, and when you do have the opportunity to listen and learn, obviously do that. Do it with an open heart, do it with respect, and do it with admiration of the person that's actually opening themselves up to educate you and let you know about their experience, which is obviously something that may or may not be raw for them, given what their history is. And I guess we can all realise that we don't know it all. It's not about politics, it's not about right, left, it's about right and wrong. And we've all got to do our utmost for equality for everyone, not just Indigenous Australians. There's racism occurring against all race groups in Australia at the moment.
Especially, I suppose, when we're talking about other race groups, I mean, there is this sort of relationship between the racism towards Aboriginal Australians and also the racism towards the multicultural groups that are coming here seeking asylum as well.
But I think one of the really interesting thing about racism against Aboriginal Australians is the fact that because of the sort of level of institutional racism there was directed against Aboriginal people through things like the Aboriginal Protection Boards and all that sort of stuff, they've often been, Aboriginal people have, I think, historically been on the bottom of the racial pile, even with other immigrant groups, and so...
In terms of, when you're saying bottom, you're talking about in terms of being...
You know, that other immigrant groups have gone, oh, I don't want to have anything
sorry.
To do with that.
Sorry, Natalie, can you just repeat what you just said? I'm sorry.
I was just reiterating what Jim was saying about there have been studies that have sort of shown the pyramid of status within Australian society, that, you know, at the top of the chain would be white male, followed by white woman, followed by European male, European woman, of obviously, you know, Italian descent and that sort of thing. And then it keeps going all the way down, you know, to include migrants of different countries. And then right at the bottom of the pile would be Aboriginal men followed by Aboriginal women.
And people slot in above Aboriginal people all the time.
Yeah.
Why is that? How have we got to such a horrible state?
I don't think we've got this way. I think it's been that way from the very beginning.
From day one on invasion. Sorry, this is one of those topics that you kind of look at yourself and you go, oh.
Natalie, I was just interested as well, I mean, touching on what Steph was saying about how can we be a good ally, mm-hmm. I suppose having listened to some of the things you were talking about, they don't fit perfectly, but I know people in the gay community would feel in some ways that sometimes there's a crossover, that they feel, you know, they feel like they're discriminated against in some ways. Mm-hmm. So does that make, I suppose, if you have felt marginalised in any way, that it can give you that insight and it can give you that almost that you can stand with them a bit? It's obviously not exactly the same.
Yeah, it's sort of like kindred spirits because you've experienced marginalisation for whatever reason it is. You feel...
Except when Tony Mundine starts saying stupid things.
On behalf of other people then.
Yeah, I suppose it's that empathy, isn't it? That's such an important word.
Exactly.
It's interesting you mentioned that, James. I was reading an article in Overland magazine recently, who was written by a young Aboriginal person who's queer, and they were saying that they felt a lot more welcomed in their Aboriginal community for being queer than in the queer community for being Aboriginal.
That was something that I was going to... that I was actually going to disagree with you, James, because I do. I was actually having this discussion yesterday with people about the intersection between where someone wrote something like, "Oh, the white gay man screams equality," and then puts on his Grindr profile, "No blacks, no Asians, no femmes, etc." Mm. And it is something that did bring up a lot of things, a lot of discussion as well. Most of the people that I knew were just like, oh yeah, what a ridiculous thing. And then there were one or two people. I found it funny. I had a couple of people who were just like, I'm offended by that. I'm going, great, I'm glad you are. And then there were the one person who said, it's very different, you know, I'm allowed to feel this. And then pointed out that I was also, that any racism about me for fetishizing that situation, which is also kind of, you look at the pervasiveness of this whole situation and institutionalized. But I was also going to point out, institutionalized our racism towards asylum, like in asylum seeker minority groups that are coming here. It's being so pushed in the media that these other people who are coming to take our jobs, etc.
But I would argue that the institutionalized racism we've had against Aboriginal people has made it easier for governments to have the sorts of policies they've got against asylum seekers. Because it's already in the psyche of Australians to go, oh, brown people coming here and doing all these things to us. We've got enough of their own brown people here doing them.
What would you say to that, Natalie, then?
I'd have to agree with that point. I mm-hmm. think that, yeah, it's if you're racist against one, you tend to be racist against them all, to be honest. That's the mindset that I've come across. I mean, I've even come across comments in social media where people say, why don't the Aboriginal people just go home?
What the?
Go back to where they came from.
Well, they should I shouldn't laugh. The opera house.
Such ignorance, really. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You have to
without
laugh.
Without education, there's no way to quash that ignorance.
No. I'm looking at one of the quotes here in your article, one of your articles that says... it wasn't directed at you personally, so what's the problem? And I just think that really jumped out at me as it felt like, you know, words like casual racism really came into it a lot. Mm. This idea that, you know, oh, we're Australian, you know, chill out a little bit. Don't take anything
too...
Or
we can all be Australian.
I feel like that a lot of the conservative commentators are trying to play to that, what you'd potentially call spirit in Australians, that don't take yourself too seriously. But and that's really, I think, do you think that's a challenge, Natalie, for not only Indigenous people but other, you know, cultural groups?
I think it is because they try to invoke larrikinism just to brush off any racial comment that anyone gets offended by. They just think that it's, you know, it's a beat up. We need to just calm down, relax, and, you know, the whole comment about political correctness gets thrown around, and it's not about political correctness. It's honestly just about being respectful to one another. Like, you wouldn't go up to someone on the street and call them ugly. So why would you affect, like, be rude to them based on what race they belong to or what sexual orientation they belong to?
And I think you make a very good point in one of your articles when you say, well, you know, if you phrase something as most people think it's fine, well, of course, most people think it's fine if they're the majority who were reaping the benefits of being in that privileged position.
Absolutely.
I like the point in your article, Natalie, this is Jim here, about you claiming the heritage of your grandmother. And I assumed from reading that your grandmother was not a full-blooded Indigenous Australian woman, but was probably had European heritage herself.
Yes, she was the first one in that line that had European ancestry.
Well, I was just going to point out a friend of mine who is a very, very dark-skinned Aboriginal person. His grandfather was Maltese, and so the way that he deals with lots of racism is to actually claim his Maltese heritage all the time, and he at one stage went off and joined the Maltese Association and did all those sorts of things. And people would go, where are you from? He'd go, oh, I've got Maltese in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually quite funny because you'd see people just take three steps back, and then he would explain to them that he was actually Aboriginal and he had a Maltese grandfather, because the Maltese grandfather thought it was okay to leave his wife and 12 children in Malta and come out here and have another wife and another 12 children with an Aboriginal woman, and that seemed to be okay for a good white Catholic man. And they only discovered it later in life because he bumped into this woman who looked exactly like his sister but was white in a hospital, and she was a nurse. And when he looked at her name tag, she had the same surname as him, and he went, look at us, we've got the same surname, and it turned out they had the same grandfather.
I find that story a little bit concerning just because the concept... because it revolves around this idea of you need to pretend to not be Aboriginal to have a conversation about being Aboriginal.
Well, what he was doing was confronting them about what heritage actually means, and that you can actually claim more than one heritage.
Hmm.
There'd be quite a lot of Australians that would have Aboriginal heritage that would have no idea they had Aboriginal heritage.
Yeah, exactly. And they can thank the stolen generation policies for that.
We're gonna finish on a lighter note because it's been very kind of, well, it's been very heavy discussion today. But what I would like to firstly point out, both of your articles are absolutely fantastic, Natalie. Thank you so much.
We'll link them on our Facebook.
For people who are into Googling right now, it is independentaustralia.net to check out the articles. The best one to start with is "I'm not racist, but," and that's did we pronounce your last name correctly? I've just realised we forgot to ask that. Chrome or Crom?
Chrome. You've got it correct.
Hooray! So that's C-R-O-M-B for people out there as well. Natalie, thank you so much for your time on the show. We've really appreciated having a chat with you and look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks very much, Nat.
Thank you.
Bye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au. You're with Steph, James, Kurt and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Hello, Joysters. You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred? And it's 14 minutes to 11. And we've been talking to Natalie Crome about racism, and Natalie's now gone off the line. And we're now going to have a bit of a discussion with Steph, who I think this week, or last week, wasn't it, Steph? You went to the LGBTI mental health conference.
Yes, it was actually the week before last. It was the Mind Out conference run by the LGBT Mental Health Alliance. And I just wanted to talk briefly about it.
So was everybody moping around miserably?
No, there was. Good. It was very uplifting, very exciting. So there was people there from all over Australia, from the mental health sector, from the LGBT sector, youth. There was lots of different people, lots of different presenters, dozens and dozens of people presenting. And I presented with other people focused in youth areas. But one thing that really struck me from the conference that I really took away from it is the importance of keeping culture in the community, and how people, you can't, for a lot of people, particularly Aboriginal people or people from migrant backgrounds, or there were a couple of Maori presenters as well, sort of, I guess, identity and culture are intertwined, and you can't have one without the other. And I feel like that's something that we as a queer community could do better in accounting for different sorts of being queer, I suppose.
Yes, because people grow up in their ethnic community before they grow up in a queer community.
Yeah, absolutely. And even understandings of being gay, or, you know, like having the sister girl and brother boy communities, and the support that those people can provide to each other, and even the understandings of what it means to be gay. There was, I don't know if you guys know Gavi Ansara, who's kind of amazing. If you don't know Gavi...
I do not. Tell me.
He's a researcher particularly focusing on intersectionality with... He describes himself as a polycultural man. He's also does a lot of work in the trans and intersex space. He spoke a lot about culture and the importance of culture and religion as supports, not... I guess one thing that was discussed a lot at the forum was often people feeling like they have to choose between their culture and their identity in the gay community, or between their religion and their identity in the gay community. And it's much stronger if those things can come together and people can be, more than one person.
I think the idea is that we often feel that religion and culture is... it's not flexible. I'm trying to think of the word that is. It's unyielding for that. And something that I actually remember, that I do remember from my Catholic high school background, that someone, I think, who worked out early on that I had an identity which was far different from the marriage and, yes, and marriage and 10 babies and good Irish Catholic, is that you take bits. You take the tiny bits that are appropriate to making your life ahead, and, you know, being a good person, not stealing, not coveting some neighbor's ass. But it was actually ass for that one, but I think it works better as ass. And instead of driving forward from, can't remember where I was going with that. I was saying a word and it's disappeared. Someone else take over.
If you're someone who feels like they are in multiple communities, please let us know on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. I guess, one thing I did find that was uplifting was that there were stories of hope. That sounds really cliche, but there were lots of stories where people had successfully remained really close in their migrant community or in their church or Muslim communities, that they didn't have to choose. And I think that's a myth that a lot of, you know, white atheists like myself can sometimes believe.
But I think that it leads to another thing, and that's that the gay community should be a lot better. Should be. It isn't, but it should be a lot better in being more flexible than some of the cultural and religious groups. Mm. So if we were more flexible, there'd be less success for religious people and
fundamentalists. And
fundamentalist culturalists to be discriminatory and anti-gay and homophobic.
I want to point out that one of the success stories, and it did take a little while, was, of course, one of our former guests, Alina Muhammad Ali, who is one of our favourite guests here. And you'll be hearing a lot of our favourite guests being propped back here very shortly. We're very excited. This is season 4, everyone.
We made it. 4 seasons.
4 seasons, and we haven't been kicked off yet.
Amazing.
Jim, we're not trying hard enough.
Well, obviously not. Well, we
need to be more controversy.
Every time I try to be controversial or outrageous, you lot all stamp on me and wag your fingers across the desk and tell me I'm not allowed to do it.
I don't know about that.
If, given that we're now up to season 4, if you have a topic you would like us to discuss, also please SMS us on 0427.
We probably won't do it though.
We might,
I'm kidding.
We'll do a whole program on why we won't do your topic. But go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/isnothingsacred on Joy 94.9, and leave a message on there for us, and we'll pick it up.
I'm sorry, Steph, I cut you off earlier. My apologies.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say there's nowhere we won't go, but then I realised that's not exactly true.
Look, give us an idea. We'll see how far we'll go. We're going to be right back after these messages and introducing the brand new show coming up on Joy 94.9, Lady and the Camp, very, very shortly. You're on Is Nothing Sacred, though, for the next 9 minutes on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Is Nothing Sacred? With Pat, James, Kurt, and Steph. Joy 94.9.
Hello, people. You are on Joy 94.9, and you've been listening to Is Nothing Sacred for the past hour, and we've been talking about racism, and we've been talking about GLBTI mental health. And just walked into the studio is Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
And Amy, you've got your new show after this, haven't you?
Oh, we are so excited.
Are you? You're even more excited than listening to us.
Oh, completely. No, never, never. No, look, it's always good to come in after such a fabulous show. It makes us a bit nervous, actually.
No, yeah, but we've got a whole panel of people here.
Yeah, I know. It's just Brendy and I. Yeah, but we have got a guest coming in. So three.
Yes. Who's coming in this evening?
Oh, a lovely artist.
A lovely artist.
Mm-hmm.
What's a not so lovely artist?
I don't want to, you know, I want people to, you know, we'll wait and see.
What sort of art does this artist do?
Contemporary, beautiful watercolours.
Beautiful.
Mm.
It's going to be a very, very exciting show coming up then. Goodness gracious me. I'm already like you. What's the word? Fluttering?
I'll be listening
hearts
to you. Listening to you in the car on the way home from here.
Oh, please do.
Don't worry, we will be.
We've just got to have a huge welcome to Monday nights.
Welcome.
So welcome. And
you do make a change from the woods. You don't look like a bear at all.
I know. I shave. The boys don't.
Yeah, those boys don't.
Oh, they just strategically shave in certain parts to make certain things look bigger. It's just
do they, Patrick? I think we might have a whole show on that.
We're not hide and seek.
We could be.
We definitely could be. Thank you so much to Natalie for coming on the show with us this evening. Thank you. Thank you very much, Amy. Stay tuned for Lady and the Camp coming up very shortly in 5 minutes on Joy 94.9. We're going to quickly leave you with one last song. Thank you so much to thank you, Jim, for being on air with us. Thank you, Kurt, for sending stuff in.
We love you, Kurt.
Thank you,
Pat.
Patrick.
Yes, thank you.
Good night, this is
Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.